Father, I thank you as always when we come into your presence. There is something that makes us glad. There's something that wants to make me come into your presence. And it's the because my heart rejoices at your word as somebody that finds great spoil. Now let the entrance of your word bring light as it always does and give us understanding. For our hearts are open before you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today's lesson, the election of grace. That's right. Election of grace. The things that God does for us, that he has done and that he continues to do, how that is all by grace. By his grace only. Wow. Hallelujah. Now, it is good and we must have faith in God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Hebrews 11 and 6. And we preach on faith. We talk about faith all the time. And we must have faith. And we know that God is, God responds in kind to faith that believes in him. We've talked about Jesus not being impressed when the disciples didn't show faith. But whenever anybody showed faith, and even tremendous faith, Jesus was impressed. Well, there is a secret that was kept secret since even before the world began, now revealed unto us, how that by grace and by the election of grace, the Lord will do these things for us. Let me start here with one short scripture. I've got a few other scriptures for us to consider today. But starting on this scripture, showing us, well, of course, even the mystery of the Gentiles coming into the grace of God, well, that was a secret. You know, that was kept since the world began. And there are many such secrets, powerful secrets in the Word of God that has been kept, but is now being revealed to us through the scriptures of the prophets. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans 16 and verse 25. And I hope someone can post the scriptures. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest, and also by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And to the only wise God be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And what is that mystery? Well, one part of that mystery is what I will be declaring today. The election of grace. This is a wonderful mystery. And we need to remind ourselves from time to time so that we will renew our thanksgiving unto him for this marvelous choice that he made in us. Now, let me read to you from Romans chapter 9. Powerful text bringing out this lesson. In Romans chapter 9, we'll pick it up from verse 6. Not as though the word of God are taking on effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. You know, so that's part of the mystery there. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac, the Lord said, shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So just because you were born a natural Jew, that doesn't make you a child of God. You know, even though he chose the nation of Israel from the beginning, it was his choice. But the real children of promise, which promise came from the beginning, the seed of the woman that would come to crush the head of the serpent. And many things spoken about the Christ, which he finally came and fulfilled. Now we have this grace. For the grace of God bringeth salvation, has appeared unto all men, that even now we may know how to live godly in Christ. The grace of God bringing salvation to us, according to Titus 2:11. Has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But listen to this. Who gave himself for us? Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hallelujah. So, the grace of God, let's talk about it for a bit today. Back to Romans chapter 9. And see how he describes this election of grace, which is one particular aspect of this grace that I want to talk about today. Now, he said, this is the word of promise, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, hallelujah, that the purpose of God according to election, and that's what I'm calling the election of his grace, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, let's think about that for a minute. This woman was pregnant with twins, and the promise was given to the father of the twins, and generations before that, it was given first to Abraham, you know, then, you know, to Isaac. And we know later on, even he passed down through to Jacob. But at this time, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, is expecting twins. Now, these twins are still in her belly. They've not done good or evil. They've not been born. Nobody knows what they will look like or what they would do. The Lord, by the word of God, said unto the mother of the to-be mother of the twins, say to her, the elder shall serve the younger. Why? They haven't even done anything. But the election of grace, the way that God chooses. Now we preached on the, you know, firstborn and the birthright some months ago. I did that lesson. And the birthright, you know, goes to the firstborn. especially when he's male like that, you know. But this time around, God said, no. You know, the elder will serve the younger. I also thought about the crossing. I talked about this also, the crossing of the hands, how God can do that. But let's take this story a little further and see what the Lord does here. When he said, the elder will serve the younger, he also said, Jacob, I have loved, Esau, I have rejected. Yeah, that word hated there is rejected. You know, but what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You know, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's his prerogative. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, this is powerful scripture. Verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. Now we must want to do his will. You know, we must run to do his will. We will do everything we can, but at the end of it all, we must recognize that it is of God that showeth mercy. I mean, he may look at your labor and reject it. And he may look at your labor and receive it. I mean, he looked at Cain. And Cain brought sacrifice. Well, of course, he brought the fruits of the ground, which God had already cursed, you know. And Abel brought a sacrifice of the blood. Now, who gave him revelation? Nobody knows, but we know. It was the inspiration of the Almighty that gave Abel revelation that it would be the blood that would be acceptable. Now, I played you a song about the blood. The blood will never lose its power. Everything that we have today through Christ was because of the shed blood of Christ. In fact, think of it this way. When you go to the Father in prayer, present the blood of Jesus. You know, that reminds him of his son, you know, who gave his life for us. And then anytime you come to him through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Father will remember the painful sacrifice that Christ went through. In fact, it was so painful that Christ, when he was thinking about it, he said, let this cup pass away from me. I don't want to do it. But nevertheless, that will be done. You know, he was in fact, the snares of hell got a hold of him because he had to go down to that place. He had to be separated from the Father. He had to be in darkness for a minute. Well, actually, it was more than a minute. For a while, he had to be in darkness because God laid upon him the iniquity of us all, made him darkness. Made him sin for us. And he knew that to be sin and to be darkness would be separation from the Father. And when he was on the cross, he lamented about that. Father, Father, Eli, Eli, my God, why has thou forsaken me? Well, God forsook Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God forsook him in that moment for you and for me. And that blood that he shed, anytime we present that to the Father, my goodness, Christ himself making intercession for us through that very blood of the everlasting covenant. And that blood speaking to us today, I mean, speaking for us today, still speaking better than the blood of Abel that cried out to the Lord from the ground after his brother slew him. The blood of Christ, through that blood, it causes God to do things that we cannot even imagine. Can't imagine what God can do for you, how he's even done for us because of the blood. The Lord said concerning Pharaoh, I have raised thee up that I might show thy power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. You might remember the message on his name that we did about a week or so ago. His word is his bond, and his name is his reputation. And God wanted to get him more renown for his name. So he hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And you say, well, why doth he yet then find fault? Because he has mercy on whom he has mercy, and he hardeneth whom he wants to harden. So why then he there yet fight for? Because who has resisted his will? And here is the answer in verse 20 of Romans 9. But nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? You know, God is the potter and we are the clay. And shall the thing that is formed seem to him that formed it? Why hast thou made me thus? I mean, God can choose, you know, of one lump to make one vessel unto honor. He said, had not the power over the clay of the same lump as he's making the pottery, can make from the same lump, can choose to make one vessel of honor. A nice vessel that will put, they put in the china. He can make another one of dishonor, something that they will use to sweep the floor. You know, sweep up the dust from the floor. When the broom sweeps, he can make a clay of the dust tray if he wants to. But he can also make one of beautiful something, put it in the, you know, set it up among the vessels of honor. He can choose to do that, you know. Now, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath that are fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand unto glory, even us. See, are you one of the vessels of mercy? Have you experienced his mercy and his grace? But I invite you, if you haven't, for anyone that may be listening to this later on. Wow. This is the very thing that Christ came to do. Offer us the grace of God. And he chose us before the world began. But we must say yes. Will you say yes to him today? You know, and he called not only the Jews, but he's called the Gentiles. And today, here is what we know. We know that God is the one that has chosen us. I mean, Christ said in John chapter 15 and verse 16, he said, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. Even when we say yes. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this subject is so deep. Even when we say yes, and we must say yes, it was still his choice. Because he says that no man, see, according to John chapter 6, verses 37 and 44, you cannot, and nobody can, come unto the Father or come unto Christ except the Father draws him, you know. About all who come to him, he said, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that powerful? Now, in verse 44, I want to actually reverse those two scriptures. I know verse 37 comes before 44, but I want to read verse 44 first, and then read verse 37. Now, this is John chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draws him. And if he comes, I will raise him up at the last day. But you can't do it except the Father draws you. And then verse 37 does say that all that the Father has given me, they shall come, which means he will draw them. And when they come, I will no wise cast them out. But you can't come except he draws him. It's a mystery, which I have also explained in this room before, by looking at the door at two. Of course, the door, every door has two sides. But there is an inscription on the door, and this is how the Lord showed it to me some time back. There's an inscription, everyone is on this side of the door, and the inscription on the door says, whosoever will, let him come through this door. That's all. You know, but whosoever will is presented to everybody. Well, who will come? Only God knows. Some people look at that door and they see the inscription, whosoever will, let him come through this door. They look at it for a while and they just walk away. Some people go even up to the door. They're curious and put their hand on the handle of the door about to open it. And they change their mind and they walk away. Well, one by one, everybody has a chance to look and decide whether they will come through that door or not. Perhaps even some of the ones that walked away changed their mind and came back and said, well, you know, I got to figure out what's behind that door. You know, and so meanwhile, everybody looking at the door one by one to get a chance to either come in or not. And so finally, when each person that goes in through that door, the door closes behind them. The door can only take one person at a time. You know, it's kind of like some of these swinging doors that only one person can go through when you go through the hotel or airport or someplace like that at a time. You can only one person go through. And when you go through, the door immediately closes behind you. And you are forced to look back behind you. And then you see another inscription, different from the one that was on the outside of the door. This time around, what do you see? It says, you have been chosen even before the world began. Wow. Well, outside, it looked like it was your choice to come in there. You know, but I mean, because the invitation was given to everybody. Whosoever will, let him come in. I mean, that's the most powerful word in the gospel is whosoever. That's the most powerful word. It puts it out there. Whosoever. But the mystery that was hidden before the world began is that behind that whosoever, it is God's choice. People don't know how it will. You cannot tell just because you see somebody walking away from that door that they are not going to come back and go through the door. You don't know that. You know, they may walk away today and they may come back and go through that door. You know, and so nobody knows. You cannot tell that, you know, you can't tell that it's this person or that person that will eventually get through that door. Nobody knows except God. But when you do get through that door, the story is you have been chosen. Hallelujah. It's a deep, deep, deep lesson. It causes us to tremble when we know these things. In the book of Psalm 65, here is how the psalmist put it in verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Well, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. The Lord is the one that does the choosing. And you may be here today, you know, and we dealt with that self-righteousness a few days ago. You know, some people forget where they came from, and now they begin to look down on others as if by their own works or something, they've cleansed themselves, or by your own choice. You could not have made it in, except he chose you. Now, you may not think he chose you, but he did choose you. He goes right here, blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and no man can come unto me except the Father draws him. Well, how does he draw you? Well, he draws us by the gospel, by the preaching of righteousness and the gospel of the kingdom. That's how he draws people. Here is what the kingdom looks like. Come on in. But whether they will come in or not, nobody knows except him. But at the end of the day, we find out that, you know, the ones that he foreknew, the Bible says, for those whom he foreknew, he also did call. Hallelujah. That's how he does it in Romans 8 and 29. He has seen it all from the beginning. I know Abraham, that he will instruct his household after the Lord. Well, I know Esau, that his heart will be wicked. God already knew, even though he was in the womb. I know Jacob, that he's going to be fiery, you know, and I've chosen him because I want to show a lesson through him. I've also chosen Esau and to be what he will be, because I've also chosen to show a lesson through him. And God, you know, does all these things. And we wonder, you know, how it is that we turned out. But let's put it this way. Those of us who are vessels of mercy, my goodness, just always remember his goodness and his to praise him. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. We are told in verses 3 to 5 that the Lord chose us in him before the world began. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He already did it. Before you were formed in your mother's belly, before even your mother was formed, before her mother was formed, and their mother was formed, before anybody, before the world even began, he chose us in him. And what was the choice and what was the goal? Well, he chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us that we will come into the likeness of the Christ. We will become children of God through Jesus Christ. He predestined that. That's our destination. You know, we will be just like the Christ. He did that for the, according to the pleasure of his own goodwill, to the praise of the glory of his grace. This grace that we are talking about today, that it will be revealed to us at the end of the age, because it was kept secret. How that by election, you know, people will come in. How that even by election, the Gentiles will come in. Now God, you know, gave the choice first to Israel and they refused him. The father, Jesus told the parable himself, say, father had two sons, came to the first and said, go walk in my field today. And say, I am not going. Flat out refused. And so because of his refusal, see, if the first son had not refused, he wouldn't even have asked the second. He only needed one of them to go. But because the first one refused, then he had to turn to the second and say, go to my field and do something today. And the second one said, yeah, right away, sir. But he didn't go. Oh, my goodness. And the one that said he wasn't going, flat out refused at first. He later repented and he went. And Jesus said, which of the twin did the father's will, do you suppose? And they said, well, the one that repented and went and did it. They said, okay. You know, and he brought out a powerful thing there. You know, not only was he talking about Israel and the Jews, and the Gentiles, he was also talking about, look, the people that sometimes we look down upon, harlots, you know, wicked people and stuff like that. He said, look, some of these will come. We enter into the kingdom of God before all of you. And they were furious when he was saying stuff like that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, whether they are a harlot today, whether they are, you know, weird today, whether they think that they are a woman when they should be a man today, whether they think they are a man when they should be a woman today, whether they are also messed up today, doing weed, doing crack, doing whatever, no matter what they look like today, God is able. Oh, Rasandori Bashilara Kubaya. God is able to bring them right back. And, you know, and he knows. We don't know, but he does. Because he has complete foreknowledge of all things. Those who will come. And so our job is to preach the gospel to every creature, because you don't know. You can't look at somebody and say, this one can't make it. I mean, look at him. He's supposed to be a man. You know, you look at him, dressed like a woman, doing all of these things, or look at her, and so forth. You don't know. You have no idea what God is cooking behind the scenes for each of those people. You know, at the appointed time, you know, just all you have to do, look at the story of Saul of Tarsus, who was killing the saints, hauling them into prison, taking, you know, all these things against them, you know, but, you know, at the appointed time, because God had a purpose for him. He didn't look like that at first, anybody looking at him. And it was a thorn in his flesh throughout his life because, you know, all the believers were scared of him. You know, scared of him. But they all they thought about was, this man, we don't trust him. Well, you know, nevertheless, was a champion, became a champion of the faith. Now, for us who have received this grace, how then should we carry ourselves? If we have received this grace from the Lord, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, having therefore, dearly beloved, these precious promises. Yeah. Well, many promises, many glorious things that God has given us. How that we will inherit glory with Christ and so on and so forth. Well, because of all of that, well, we better, you know, you say, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That's what we must do. We must cleanse ourselves. But we know that Christ is the one that's doing the work in us. But listen, there are some parts that we must do for ourselves, like mortifying the deeds of the flesh. You got to do that yourself. And even though the Holy Spirit will give you the grace to do it, but you got to do it. You know. And we got to put that body under, glory to God, you know. And when we do that, we crucify that flesh. Christ said, look, I will bring him up at the last day. Now, let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. In fact, let me start from verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. It's this seal about the mystery and the foundation of God concerning all things in his kingdom and his plans. It's a twofold mystery. It's a twofold seal. The seal has two parts. One, it says, the Lord knows them that are his. That's what I've been talking about. He's the one that knows who's going to be, because he has perfect foreknowledge of all things. Nobody else knows. That's one part of the seal. And then he says, and, now that's a conjunction. So that means you got to take the two parts of a sentence together. The Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And that's the second part of this lesson that I'm going to talk about for just a few minutes. Now, just because we are talking about grace and that the Lord knows them that are his, I am not a subscriber to the so-called hyper grace, you know, theory that, oh yeah, you know, you just do anything you can. Once saved, you are forever saved. You know, you can't do anything wrong. No matter what you do, you know, live in sin or do whatever, God's already saved you. That's nonsense. It is nonsense because of this scripture right here. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let them depart from iniquity. Because the seal is twofold. The Lord knows you. He chose you. But you better depart from iniquity. You better cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the spirit and of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And if you don't do it, that's what Christ said. In John chapter 15, that's a serious part of this lesson now. That's what Jesus said. He said, you know, I am the vine and you are the branches. And my Father is the wine dresser or the husbandman. Now every branch in me. Now notice, these were branches that were in him. They were not just some random branches. You know, every branch in me that bringeth fruit, he purges it so it may bring forth even more fruit. But the one that doesn't bring fruit, he takes it away. Cast it out. Well, cast it out. Now, these were branches that were already in him. This was not just some branch that was somewhere. It was every branch in me. Now, so the branch was already in him. But the branch better stay connected to him. Otherwise, it's going to be cut off. There's no such thing. And the end of it, when that branch is cut off, was the end that God saw already. That God already knows some people that will come in and then turn away. They are called falling away. You know, those are called, look, those that have tasted of the power of God, tasted of the heavenly gift, the powers of the world to come. They have even seen the grace of God close up. And then they eventually fall away. At their last state, God knows it. They can't come back. You know, but while they are doing their struggles, they may not fall away. It may just be they fell, you know, from their place in the light. God is still able to pull them out of darkness. But when they fall away and walk away from the Lord and deny the very Lamb of Christ and blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and blaspheme that worthy name by which they are called, knowingly, you know, then there is no more hope for them. But, you know, if a man purge himself from all this, the Bible says, Jesus said, then, you know, you'll be clean. You'll be a vessel of honor. That's what 2 Timothy that we were reading said. You know, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, if a man purge himself from all uncleanness, verse 21, if a man purge himself, then he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So, a two-part seal. The Lord knows them that are his, they are in the election of grace. But that grace, our response, ladies and gentlemen, this is a punchline today. You know, our love our obedience and our walking with Him and surrendering our lives to Him is the response to His grace. That's exactly right. You know, it's people who think they respond to the grace by saying, well, I can do anything I want. You know, I'm saved. You know, they were truly never part of His seed. This is the way that the true seed of God responds. The grace of God constrains us to love Him, to obey Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, to adore Him, to desire to be like Him. Hallelujah. And eventually it will make us to reign with Him. Our obedience, our love towards Him is our response to His grace. Now, you know, not the other way around. Let me read also, you know, a few things to us. When we talk about this perfection, I mean that we must purge ourselves from these things and so on. Well, you say, what about, you know, people who fall and all that? You know, well, when they fall, as long as they get back up again, the Lord is still working on them. But if they choose, you see, the Lord will never forsake anyone. But people may forsake the Lord. You know, Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But you don't have to walk away from Him. He'll never walk away from you. But you can walk away from Him if you want. You know, you can say, look, I'm done with all of that. You know, and just throw down His name, trample it down. Do despite to the blood of this covenant by which you were saved, you know, disrespect, dishonor, blaspheme His name, do whatever. People can do that. But the Lord will never walk away from anyone. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You know, therefore the world knew us not, because the world knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Although it does not quite yet appear what we shall be. God is still working on us. You know, but, you know, we keep surrendering and letting Him work on it. I'll tell you what. There is not a child of God on the face of this earth that Christ would lose. He said, I will lose none of them, but I will raise him up at the last day. And how will he do that? Make sure. Well, because the Holy Spirit, the governor, you know, is right here, and he will convict you eventually, one way or another, if you're a real seed of God. One way or another, if there's unrepented sin, unrepented anything in that person's life, Holy Spirit, one way or another, will convict them of that sin, you know, and bring them to the place of repentance again. That's what he does, you know. Now, not that with the sin they will enter in. No, no, no. But the Holy Spirit, he will convict. He will break them down finally. You know, it may be arrogant, stubborn, rebellious right now, but because of the grace of God and his election, he will break them down finally, you know, and they will repent. They must repent. No unrighteousness will make it in. But at the end of the day, God will break it down. But if somebody thinks that, you know, they're going to go in there with sin and everything, all the same, you know, just because they were saved, no. But the Holy Spirit, the real message of grace is that the Holy Spirit, the governor, that's right. He will bring you to the place of righteousness again. Hallelujah. We convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of all these things. That's what he does. And he will guide the elect to make sure that they don't miss what God is doing. Now, in the book of John chapter 10 I'm going to just read a few verses before I wrap this up. John chapter 10, let me read verse 14. I am the good shepherd, he says. Hallelujah. And I am known of mine. Glory to God. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, other sheep I have that are not yet of this fold at that time, them also must I bring. It's talking about the Gentiles. That there will be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man take it away from me, but I lay it down in obedience to the Father. I have this power to lay down, the power to lay down, the power to take it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father. And Jesus used to encourage himself by that. He would talk about that. He knew that was coming. He would talk about it, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. And he will be talking about it. You know, I received this commandment of my Father. Now, let's jump down to verse 27 here. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. These are his sheep. Sheep will never perish. If they go astray, he'll bring them back. But they must come back. You know, my Father, he said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. They will never perish, and neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. They'll have to walk away on their own. You know, when lion comes to take them back, he's going to go after that lion, get him out of the lion's jaw, like David did. You know, whatever comes against that flock, he's going to go after it. Get him right back. You know, nothing can take them out of his hand. Now, they may choose to walk away from the flock. And even when they do, he will leave the 99 and go find them and bring them in. Hallelujah. Here's what happens, though, when people walk away. This is what happens. You know, the shepherd will go hunting for the sheep. He will do it too, because he's a good shepherd. But in the meantime, that sheep, the life will be in jeopardy. You know, they've been hunted by, you know, any stray lamb or deer that wanders away from the group like that, they are target for the enemy. You know, the prowler that is prowling, oh yeah, they'll suffer many things. Chased, hunted down. Might even suffer some bruises and things like that before rescue comes. Now, rescue will come. But when you walk away from God, you're going to suffer a lot of things. Stay in the ship. He said, these cannot be saved if they jump ship. Must stay in the ship. Stay in the flock. Walk away from the flock, even though the Father will come after you to try to find you, bring you back to the flock. You suffer many things. Many things. Rescue is coming. But in the meantime, you suffer a lot of things. You know, so, you know, he said, look, no one will pluck you out of my hand. He'll do everything to get you back. But you better stay right where you're supposed to be. You know, where, stay right there with the flock where there is safety, you know, and so on. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today, let me just summarize what our lesson is. Our lesson today is to remind us that the things that God does and what he has done and the you know, our being selected of him was not our choice. Even though it looked like it was your choice, it really was his choice. But thank God for the grace that you made you to respond. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, it is God that works in us, both to will and to perform of his good pleasure. I mean, even the desire for you to do his will, it's God that put it in you. And the ability to carry it out, it's God that does it with you. I mean, the Romans 15 and 16 that we read, so then it is not of him that willeth and runneth and so forth, but of God that showeth mercy. Even the desire to run, to will, it's all from God. But at the end of the day, it's his mercy and it's his election. You know, so we must never forget that. What he has chosen us to be is to be blameless before him in love. Yes, he has chosen us, but we must be blameless before him in love. He has predestinated us to come into his image. That's Romans 8, you know, 29 and so on. You know, but those of us whom he has chosen, we also must be take heed to cleanse ourselves from all unrighteousness. And today, let us see, before we close, a lesson from the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a man that was, you know, I mean, highly honored by God. God gave him many things. Gave him a kingdom. He was a king among kings. You know, but he forgot that it all came from God. And one day he thought, well, you know, this is a thing, all these things I have done by myself. I mean, is this not great Babylon, he said, and all these hanging gardens and stuff that I have built by myself for the greatness of my kingdom, the excellency and beauty of my power. And he said all these things, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, and the Lord said, you should have given the glory to God. And because you did not give the glory to God, you know, which, of course, you know, Daniel had warned him to do, but he didn't do it. And then the holy watchers said, well, you know, let them drive him into the bush. Let him be there 7 times upon him, 7 years. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven until he knows that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men. Gives it to whomsoever he wants. And the Lord does all these things and so forth, you know. And so, when all of that came upon him, but at the end, God left him a stump. He said, let me, you know, leave a stump unto him. He'll come back for a reason. So, when his reason finally returned to him, here's what he said. And I love this. And he gave this accolade to the Lord. You know, best ode that I've ever read in that Bible, as good as any. Daniel chapter 4. And he gave this to the Lord in verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say his hand, neither can anyone say unto him, what doest thou? You know, and so forth. He should have known that from the beginning. But God put that lesson there for us. You know, until this day, that lesson remains. Now, whatever we are, whatever we've been achieved or whatever, you know, always remember, it was the election of his grace. It was not anything, you know, it wasn't by your power or by your grace. I mean, by your greatness, you know. And Nebuchadnezzar now said at the end, he said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment. And those that walk in pride, he He's able to abase. So he figured that out finally. You know, and I pray that we all may learn that quickly. You know, and remember, it is his grace that's upon you. The grace of God is what's keeping you. The grace of God is what appeared to you, brought you out of darkness into light. The grace of God is what gave you anything that you have and anything that you hope to have. Even though he promised, when you get it, it's still his grace. Hallelujah. And, you know, so everything is about his grace. And let us praise him for his grace. We have been chosen to be like him. And what an honor, you know, that we should be chosen to be like him. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. And I've ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth much fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Herein is your Father glorified. Ladies and gentlemen, a different kind of lesson today, but just to remind us that, you know, as we aspire to greatness and different things that the Lord promised to come in our life, let's also remember it's God that does these things. And all that he has done for us, put us into the place as vessels of honor, we must never forget. And never look down on somebody else and think that they'll never make it in. Just because of what they look like right now. You know, because God has a way and he's going to bring them in too. But he needs you to be that voice. He needs you and me to be that light that will shine, to represent so that they can come. They say, come, taste and see how good the Lord is. Come and see what we are enjoying in this kingdom. Glory to God. That's how we show. That's how we represent. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the election of grace. How you have chosen us in you before the world began. That we should be blameless before you. That you walk in your love. And that we should come into the image of the Christ. We thank you for this grace. May we walk worthy of the same. And help us also to know that other sheep are still out there that are not yet of the fold. And they also must come in. And may we present ourselves instruments of righteousness for the Lord to use to bring others into their kingdom. Thank you for this grace. I give you, Lord, praise. I give you the glory. Thank you for the blood also, through which we have redemption. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.